Welcome back to the Merv Griffin Show. I'm Joe Donahue. Hey, it's Friday, and welcome to our panel discussion. It's great to have you. Who's the band leader on the
Merv? Jack Sheldon.
Jack Sheldon, that's right.
Jack Sheldon will be here.
It is...
Mrs. Miller.
I wonder who Colbert will pick.
Oh, as his band leader?
No, wait, that's foreshadowing, because we will talk about this later, and I have some issues with it.
I find that if I bring up issues early on, then you're forced to actually talk about these later.
That's true. You found us out. You have found us out.
Remarkably fluff sort of topic for you, though. Usually it's something much, heavier.
I'm changing my
image. So is that the way it works? In other words, if we say something right now, like, for example, that Preet Bharara, the wonderful U.S. attorney, and
I knew
governor,
you were going to like
maybe
that
in
one.
A little bit of a tiff, and that would be a good thing to talk about at some point, wouldn't
right.
it?
Right now,
good job,
and we have it on the list. And it's
good.
So, and I'm glad you.
Jack Benny would say, "Oh, good."
Yes.
Do listeners know we have a list? We actually come in here. We really are prepared. Do they know that?
No, there's a difference.
No.
A list and there's a list. Yes, preparation. Well,
And I don't mean this.
Some more than others.
Right. So there is a list, and now as to who actually opened it and looked at it, that's a completely different. Topic.
I read everything and did additional research.
That one's looking
right.
I always label it suggested stories. I actually put more than usual on today's list because some of them were connected. But you know what? I think we should start. Right away with the story that Alan mentioned, because it's great, and we have the most time now, so we'll talk about this. In an unusually public confrontation between two of the state's most powerful officials escalated on Thursday, Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York, not known for engaging in on-air rebukes of elected office holders, took aim at Governor Cuomo over his decision to dissolve an anti-corruption panel. We spoke about this yesterday, but it was escalated throughout the day yesterday. Mr. Bharara went on radio to criticize Mr. Cuomo for, quote, quietly shutting down the panel, the commission to investigate public corruption. The governor had appointed the panel last year with considerable celebration to develop reforms to state law that would protect against corruption in Albany, a real-life petri dish for all manner of political malfeasance, according to the New York Times.
It's a nice line.
We should note as well, we just heard in Ray's newscast, the governor saying this was always expected to be a temporary commission. This was a commission that was going to be in force until certain legislation was passed, which has been passed, that he feels would ultimately duplicate the efforts of the commission. With that set up, Dr. Chartok.
Well, I don't want to get into trouble. You know what I mean? I don't like to get into trouble.
No, that never happens.
The correct word to what the governor said is "bushu." It just that ain't right. The fact of the matter is, he set them up. He put some of the most prestigious DAs in the state, including ours in Albany, onto this thing. And he instructed them to root out corruption wherever he could find it, and to turn over anything that they found to the district attorneys for prosecution and all the rest of it. Okay, so that's what he did. And then when they put out and by the way, he, I believe I'm right about this, hired basically the executive director of the commission. So you had all these people sitting there with the big names, and then he was, according to Ken Lovett of the Daily News, calling in the plays, who should be investigated and who should get subpoenaed and who shouldn't. Well, this is pretty bad stuff. If that is true, and by the way, they deny it, but if that were true, and I think where there's smoke, there's fire in this case, and you have you've collected, as the governor, $33 million into your campaign account, and some of the people who were being told not to be subpoenaed may have been people who gave that money to the governor, now you really have a bad situation. The Times, you didn't read the last sentence I actually prepared, the last sentence basically says that Cuomo was wrong. And so to do this. And here's the thing. When I was talking to all the Cuomo people, I said, well, this is Moreland Act Commission. What did they come up with? The answer was, you wait till the end. You'll see. Well, we never get to the end because there is no end. And I think Bharara, who has indicted all kinds of people and who's a very good law enforcement guy, untypically tips his hand and says, this isn't right. Is that enough?
That's pretty good. I like it. There was one sentence here that I wanted to read, and now I seem to have misplaced it. But it was basically that, it was a rare moment in which the governor, a former state attorney general who is accustomed to questioning others, found his own motives under scrutiny on a highly charged subject.
Yeah, it seems to me he stepped into this himself, you know, that this is a problem of his own making, and he is scrambling now to get out of it. Do you think, Alan, that he anticipated this move by the U.S. attorney?
No, I don't. And I think he thought, look, he's a very popular governor. He's got all kinds of numbers going for him. And Moreland Act Commission, they come, they go. His father did it. He's doing it. But he did this in order to bring sensibility out of chaos in Albany. And it doesn't pass the smell test. Why not? It doesn't pass the smell test. Let them finish their job. And that's what Bharara says. I'm going to find out what was left to do, and I'm going to do it. So that's really quite something.
So what are the chances, do you think, that we will see any kind of prosecution? Prosecution.
Yeah, persecution.
We've been trying, I know, I get those two words mixed up. Prosecution or further investigation into wrongdoing by any state official.
Very, very good.
Very, very good?
No, very
really?
Good. Bharara, not by the Moreland Act Commission, but Pete Bharara. He's going to take a look at what is left. Look. We know that Andrew Cuomo was responsible for prosecuting many of the bad actors in all of this and has talked to me about that. So the fact is that there is no good reason why you say, okay, they did this and this little thing, and therefore we're going to call off this investigation of wrongdoing in Albany. It doesn't pass the stink test.
So why do you think he did? Why would he have? The supposedly he got such a great...
Well, you never know where it's going to go. I mean, if all kinds of people who are under subpoena or who should have been subpoenaed, who gave money to all kinds of people, including the governor, are yelling and screaming, what do we give you all this money for? If that's what they're saying, then you got to ask yourself, the governor's between a rock and a hard place. I mean, he got $33 million of their money.
There is a line in the Times story which has prompted my question, saying that they don't foresee any great revelations coming out of those files that were turned over by the Moreland commissioners to the U.S. attorney. So
then one wonders whether this Moreland Act Commission was ever supposed to do do more than just make a lot of noise.
You know, because ironically, it now has ended up where the governor first promised that they would investigate everything and turn over possible legal cases to an attorney, different attorney than he expected to send it to. But it has ended up there.
Are you being sardonic? I mean,
no.
Yes, that's right. A different attorney than he expected.
Than he expected, right.
But it was never, I mean, I'm so sorry, but I mean, how cynical can you get that you set this thing up, great fanfare, and then you turn around and you say, oh, by the way, for a couple of minor league changes in the law with the legislature, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let this thing go. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, it was a gamble, Alan, I think, that he thought he could get away with it, that everyone was going to say, oh, another commission, and that would be it, a little bit of grumbling. It's really this move by the U.S. attorney that's made a difference. That's turned it into a controversy.
Well, to be fair, and I don't want to brag, but you heard it from me first. I mean, I've been yelling about this for weeks. I really don't get it. I think it was a gamble. I think it was a bad gamble. most people don't know a thing about Albany. They don't have the slightest idea what's going on. And this is a very extraordinary turn of events because it turns out there were some important people watching.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. We'll leave it there for the moment, and we'll come back. We would love your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support for WAMC comes from Stone Soup Concrete, East Hampton, Massachusetts. Specializing in concrete countertops, sinks, bathtubs, furniture, and architectural elements, serving the Pioneer Valley and New England, stonesoupconcrete.com. Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting Great Guitars with four acoustic guitarists, Martin Taylor, Frank Vignola, Vinny Raniolo, and Pepino D'Agostino, 8 p.m. Saturday, April 19th, troymusichall.org. And Oblong Books, presenting Conversations on the Hudson with author Nick Hand and Ken Green of the Hudson Valley Seed Library, Sunday, April 13th, 4 p.m. in Rhinebeck, oblongbooks.com.
Started off the show by taking requests, which is why we started with the Cuomo story. But under normal conditions, it probably would have started with the Sebelius story. It's the big news.
Yeah.
Kathleen Sebelius, the Health and Human Services Secretary, is resigning, ending a stormy five-year tenure marred by the disastrous rollout of President Obama's signature legislative achievement, the Affordable Care Act. So you hit the deadline. You hit your quote-unquote goal, 7 million. You let the dust settle a little, a week, and then she goes. Mm-hmm. Rosemary?
Well, I've been calling for this for a long time. I sound like you, Alan, but this is deserved and long overdue. The leaving is completely staged. It looks like she made the decision to retire rather than she was being, you know, kind of nudged to go as well. She should have been asked to go. She did a terrible job. The Obamacare rollout does fall at her doorstep. I do, in reading about her, feel sorry, though. She's going back at 65 after a really spectacular career that ends very badly. She did not do well in this job. So I do feel bad about that, but it's more than time for her to be gone.
But the timing I find interesting. Now, this past week or so has been a time of, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. positive spin by the Obama administration on saying, okay, look, we're on track here. We hit our 7 million deadline. We hit it on time. Things are on the upswing. This is going to succeed. You would think that there might have been someone who said, hey, you know, Kathy, can you hang out another 6 weeks?
No. Do you remember when Lincoln was waiting for the exact time to roll out the Emancipation Proclamation?
Yeah, Alan only remembers that.
But he needed a victory.
Actually, I do. It says every yesterday, yeah.
he had a great day yesterday.
The president needed a victory in order to make that stick. So I believe that they were waiting for just such an uptick in the news before they got rid of her because they don't want it to look like the defeat that it really is.
But it points all the negatives back, and it brings all the negatives back in. If you're a public information officer at the White House, this would be a bad thing, don't you think?
She's not slinking out. She's saying, hey, I've accomplished it. It's time for the next step, and they're going to roll
out. Before the next shoe drops.
Exactly, and they are rolling in someone. We're going to talk about this next. Her replacement is high-powered and interesting. She's going to bring new energy and hopefully, you know, more efficiency to the job.
Computer skills, yes. Hopefully. I mean, you know, basic information.
But I take it a little bit differently. You know, 6 years as a cabinet member or 5 years as a cabinet member is huge, especially when you've had to take the kind of abuse she has. I think, Rosemary, in contradistinction to what you think, seem to think, I think that when history records what's happened here, they're going to say this was a program, it turns out to be successful, she turns out to have taken the heat, and she gets a lot of credit for having helped design it and put it into place. So I think that she's retiring, I think she deserves to retire, and, you know, if it were somebody that I knew and loved, I'd want them to, because it's just too much pressure.
What are you basing your prediction, O Nostradamus, on that as history will record this? What are you basing this on? Just wondering. Tea leaves? Are you looking into a pool of water?
I truly love you, Ray. I do, and I know that your question.
That means he hates you.
Anything but hate him. I think he's great. But the fact of the matter is, I know where he's coming from, and the answer is that it's been a rough time. He was let down by a lot of people who work for him. All of us who have ever tried to run anything know that when somebody lets you down, you take the heat, and he has.
I hope that gives her some consolation. Yeah. I'm sure that's what she's trying to think, and her friends are telling her. But the truth is, she bungled it. She deserved to leave. He did the right thing getting rid of her, and I think history may indeed record that Obamacare was a momentous program in U.S. history. But there will be a footnote to all those textbooks that say it had a disastrous beginning, and it's her fault. In large part.
And one other thing, I think that when the Republicans finally got on board, the ones who did, and the Democrats, of course, passed this thing in the House when they were in control, I think it was screwed up as much as it could be screwed up, so that then they could yell and scream at the Obama people that you did it wrong. Even the left feels, well, it should have been Medicare for all, it should have been universal health care. I think that it was accidentally on purpose that so much of it was screwed up.
With that, and I do want to get to her replacement. So we'll talk about that after the break. The ultimate tease. So we'll talk about that after the break.
We're going to forward promotion.
The latest. That's it. Latest headlines from NPR, and we'll be back and continue our conversation. We welcome your input. Roundtable at WAMC.org. What'd you say?
Nothing. Not for air, old boy.
Okay.
Not for air.
I'm sorry. I saw microphones. I thought maybe we could say it on the air.
Nope.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel. It is a Friday morning, and Rosemary Armeo is here, Ray Graff and Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And before we went on break, we were talking about Kathleen Sebelius resigning. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. We mentioned that we did want to talk about her successor, and that is Sylvia Matthews Burwell, who will be announced today. She is a Rhodes Scholar. She is from West Virginia. And on Friday, the president will nominate her. She's currently director of the White House Office of Management and Budget. And now she will take over one of the largest and most unwieldy parts of the federal bureaucracy as Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, good choice. She's much younger. She's 20 years younger than Sebelius, so a lot more energy in a job that, as you've noted, requires taking a lot of flack. You know, that's what I mean. I'm not saying she's better because she's younger, Alan. Relax. I'm saying that she's got
that way.
No, that's because you interrupted me.
Oh, ouch. Oh,
hey. I don't mean to be bitchy.
Oh, hey, easy now.
That slipped out. I'm sorry, FCC. I'm sorry.
Whoa. We don't need a 7-second delay. We need like a 3-day delay.
3-day delay. You know, that was bad.
We'll roll back to Monday.
But Burwell is like that. She's very feisty. I think she's going to be way better in those encounters in Congress than Sebelius was. She's got a mandate. She has a lot to fix. She's going to go in there guns firing.
Well, she was confirmed almost unanimously in the last job by the Senate. So, the budget job. Ray, you're right. So it's going to be very hard for them to screw it up and turn it around now and give her a hard time in confirmation. Also, the Senate is run by the Democrats, so I don't see any real way in which she can be stopped, although somebody will try.
I mean, what a resume at 48. Yeah. Already has worked in the Clinton administration and the Gates Foundation, and you'd think it would be a slam dunk.
Yeah.
And it's a mom.
Right.
Okay, my turn to ask. How's that relevant?
Why? Because if somebody can handle their children, they can handle anything. Everybody knows that.
I did object to the New York Times article, which pointed out how stylish she is. I just simply cannot ever remember a time reading about a high appointment into government involving a male in which we discussed his sartorial flair. Or
Greenspan was so stylish.
Yeah.
That Paul Ryan.
By the way,
man.
If you did say stylish, it would really be considered a major league slur of one kind or another.
You're right, because you'd be reading between the lines. Mm-hmm, what does that mean?
Yeah.
It's a good point, by the way.
It is good. All right, so let's move on to. Are we done on that? Have we?
You got a couple of letters. You want to hear about?
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't get letters. Go ahead.
Well, who knows? They were probably blocked.
Okay.
Let's see. Tony says, Canada's Jim Flaherty, who died suddenly yesterday, was finance minister from before the housing banking bubble of 2007-08 until returning to the private sector last month. All of Canada mourns the loss. Why no coverage in New York State? Did you know that Quebec, New York State's largest trading partner, and New York State, Quebec's largest trading partner, when talking political subdivision? I'm not quite sure, but I don't know what that is. Okay, so Marjorie says, does anyone think that perhaps Cuomo realized this was going to be taken up by the AG, the Attorney General, and decided since many legislators might find themselves in trouble, that he, Cuomo, could get out of it knowingly and save face and pass the job to the AG? Well, the AG and Cuomo are almost as difficult relationship as the AG and the Cuomo and the Comptroller. So I doubt that really works. And then we heard from the same Tony who said, were is the correct word, as if I were a rich man. And as Alan knows, the third person singular subjunctive is we're, as if it was true that, just Alan said, you can check the tape. Also, he pronounced controller correctly yesterday on the Capital Connection as controller. We actually know it's spelled with a P because it had a French origin along the way.
Wow.
Are you interested in this?
No.
Okay, and then Ted said, I agree, but did you say she's better because she's younger?
See, okay, we're talking about the new chief or the new nominee.
No, I did not say that. I simply said that
how old is she?
She's in her 40s. Late 48. 40s.
Okay, as a 47-year-old, I love that she's considered young.
Yeah, I like that the New York Times said she's on the other side of the digital divide at 48. So you and I, we're young scamps, apparently.
I love it.
We're hip.
And finally, and not last but least, Henry says, I have to come to Alan's defense. I think his comments yesterday about not trusting Russian government intentions are based on recent years' experience and not on a throwback to Cold War mentality. John Kerry said as much in his recent testimony before a Senate committee regarding Ukraine. Good advice would be to judge the Russian government by what they do and not what they say. Thanks, Henry.
All right.
Thanks, Henry.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Now for a story that I can't believe, and I read it several times, and I just don't quite get it, but I will.
What story?
Here
is
we go.
It? All right.
Social Security and the Treasury are targeting taxpayers for their parents' decades-old debt. So... basically, what this is that a few weeks ago, with no notice, the U.S. government intercepted tax refunds from both the IRS and the state of Maryland to this woman by the name of Mary Grice. She had no idea that Uncle Sam had seized her money until some days later when she got a letter saying that her refund had gone to satisfy an old debt to the government, a very old debt. When Grice was four back in 1960, her father died, leaving her mother with five children to raise. Until the kids turned 18, Sadie Grice got survivor benefits from Social Security to feed and clothe them. Well, now Social Security claims it overpaid someone in the Grice family. It's not sure who. And after 37 years of silence, they said, you owe us money. So they just took it out of her. They took it out of her. Out of her check.
Out of her refund.
So the Treasury Department has intercepted $1.9 billion in tax refunds already this year. $75 million of that on debts delinquent for more than 10 years. So it's not even on the person themselves. They're going back to the family debt. of their parents and before. And that is, and this is all happening sort of after you get the check, then you get the explanation. And I just find that incredible.
Well, you know, it is incredible. Well, you know this is incredible, and I'll tell you why, because there are all kinds of debts to the government that they never collect. Did you know there's a lot of money, millions, maybe billions of dollars, for fines that were never paid? Guys who broke the law, people who broke the law, who never paid their fines, and we're talking about several hundred thousand dollars or millions of dollars. It never happened. They never collected it. And I'll tell you something else. People don't know about government, but they're going to sure know this story.
You know, on the surface of it, I don't object to the IRS going after unpaid debt. That's a smart thing to do when we're trying to fill a huge deficit. But to do this without any due process, to just say, hey, your father owes some money, so we're taking it from you, is just incredible.
Unbelievable.
I can't believe that will get through the courts once it's challenged.
No, and also, in what I read in the, what I just read you, and it goes into more detail, in this and other stories that I've read on this issue, is that in many cases it's because they screwed up, the Treasury Department or the Social Security screwed up and paid. But in many cases, they don't even know who they paid it to. They just know that it was someone in the family, and they're going after the only living person there.
Well, actually, in this case, that's not even true. Their policy, the IRS says, is to go after the oldest child. If the parents owe the debt, you go after the oldest child and then the second oldest. But this woman who's
thank God I'm the youngest of five.
Well, that may not save you, Joe, because then this woman is the middle child. She's got an older brother and a younger sibling. Why they picked her to go after and get the debt, no one knows. It might be because she had the refund that they could take it out of.
Do you think that because the IRS has been making hay investigating, being investigated, the Republicans investigating the IRS in the Senate for having picked out the conservative groups, you think this might just be next?
They say they've been doing this since 2011.
Yeah, 3 years. There was a one-line change in the farm bill
that allowed them to do this.
Which makes perfect sense.
I think no one's called them on it before. The IRS is terrifying. You know, I've said before, they came after me for money I did not owe. I never cheat my taxes. And you're just shut out. You have to hire a really expensive lawyer to fight them.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah.
You just, too many people will just say, okay, just pay it and get it over with.
And I think in some cases, it's like being shortchanged a little bit, where it was $60 and it was out of and nobody was really noticing it. In this case, we're talking to almost $3,000. I think it was $2,996 that was taken out, which was most of a refund. So I think, you know, that may have a lot to do with it. I think if you're supposed to get a $580 refund and you get a $540 refund and that goes to pay off that debt, well, okay, it's less and it's not as noticeable.
Right.
But still, collectively, that's a lot of money.
Joe, I want to go back to something you said before, which I thought was profound, having to do with why it makes sense, you said, that, and you were being sardonic, of course, about
part of the farm bill.
Farm bill. Could you explain that?
Well, I mean, how does
a clear answer.
What?
There's
it doesn't make
answer.
Sense.
Does anybody know? No, it does make sense because
it's right.
Bull.
Oh, all right.
From the farm. Get
right.
It?
Got it.
All right. So basically, the 10-year statute of limitations on old debts and the ability to collect them, that was taken out of the farm bill 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about.
Right.
And they've collected a healthy sum of money in the year since they started doing that. I can't remember what it is.
The only thing I object to here is, you know, all right, if the debt is legitimate, the debt is legitimate, but don't you think that maybe they should let her know beforehand,
yeah,
and
process.
So she has a chance to appeal this?
Absolutely.
Also, why does it have
to come
out?
Well, the whole premise is so stupid that a kid who is 4 years old has to pay a debt that is long gone that parents were doing. That's crazy.
But also,
that's really crazy.
Why would you have to? Garnish the refund when you could just send a letter and say you owe us this amount of money, and then it can be. We can talk about it, find out. Many of these people are now getting attorneys to look at the validity of the debt and have it explained, and then go from there instead of just saying, oh, you owe us this. We're just going to take it out of your refund.
Yeah, the IRS has so much power. Frightening.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about other stuff. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from Mount St. Mary College in Newburgh. Master's and online RN to BS and nursing degree programs for adult students, post-master's nurse practitioner certificates in adult and family health, msmc.edu. Harney and Sons Fine Teas, specializing in tea for over 30 years, offering 200 different varieties of tea, accessories, gifts, and more in Millerton, Soho, and online, harney.com. And Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, offering natural and organic beds, mattresses, futons, and pillows made in the USA with cotton, wool, and natural latex. Green-conscience.com.
Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion this morning. It is good to have you with us. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. And Alan, we got a letter or two, right?
Well, we got one from Lois who said, I'd like to hear you discuss what happens to be a Republic, a McCarthy style witch hunt of Lois Lerner of the IRS. She was in charge of the unit that investigated NFP's tax exempt status. Mm-hmm. She dared to investigate the NRA. Imagine that. The Republicans have been unrelenting on the attacks on her and will press criminal charges. It is obvious the NRA should not be tax exempt along with organizations that engage in political actions. I'm disappointed that President Obama has apparently abandoned her. Take on the NRA at your peril, Jim from Malta. And
what's
and,
NFP? Do you know?
NFP.
Not for profit.
Every time I see an F.
Right? Not
oh,
for
yeah,
profit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, not for profits, okay, tax exempt.
Yeah,
okay.
You're so smart. You're so smart. I have such a bad mind. Every time I see an F, I think something else. Okay.
That's interesting. I have to look in that. I thought it was good they got rid of her because there was a problem, like Sebelius, but I had not heard that she had been an NRA detractor. That's interesting. If true.
And Beth says, Medicaid is expected to do the same thing. When I turned 18, my pediatrician wanted me to pay the medical bills from my childhood done all the time. Labor unions hate the Walmart nominee. Okay, that's what they said.
Okay.
That's all right.
Because you, all right.
All right.
Exactly.
Thank you for your letters. We appreciate them very much.
And you can send your letter to roundtable at WAMC.org. Let us go on to other issues. The GM inquiry. This is the ongoing story. The ignition switch scandal at General Motors widened on Thursday as the automaker suspended two engineers and added another repair to its recall of cars with a faulty ignition switch that has been linked to 13 deaths. The company is facing increasing pressure from lawmakers to warn owners of recalled cars to park their vehicles until they are fixed. And as the company scrambles to make the repairs, the financial toll on its mounting recalls continues to grow. On Thursday, GM said it would cost $1.3 billion in the first quarter to pay for all of its recall, a significant increase over the $750 million it had previously estimated.
Yeah, don't you love the idea? Don't you love the idea that they're saying, you know, sort of protecting themselves legally by saying, "Park your cars, park your cars until you." So Toyota's having a recall. I called my wonderful Toyota dealer. I like them very much, and I said, "When can I bring it in for the big recall that you just announced?" They said, "We haven't heard about it yet."
Oh,
is that great?
We have a theme going here.
Park
today.
Your cars.
We have a theme going here today about people getting fired and whether they deserve it or not. And the two engineers who are suspended with pay pending further investigation, usually a prelude to firing at GM, I put them in the category of, man, how they keep their jobs this long. They are the ignition engineer. They're the ones who allowed this to happen. They also are the ones who told Congress, oh, yeah, well, we didn't fix it because it cost too much.
Well, if you remember when the head of GM, and her name escapes me at the moment, was being quizzed, if you will, or perhaps a stronger term, on Capitol Hill, she said at one point, no one has been No one has lost their job because of this. So I think once that phrase was uttered, somebody was being lined up.
Yeah.
Hours later.
Yeah.
Where someone's going to take the
and
ball.
And the cover was that they were waiting for the results of an internal investigation that's
right.
now out.
Any more on this? Anybody? Okay. Good. We can move on.
It's also
I always say, and I want to say it one more time, really quickly, that you know that Ralph Nader made his reputation by going after GM for exactly this stuff, and they do it again.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, good point. It's also costing them a lot more than they had originally thought. The price is like doubled.
Well, on that, can I be cynical?
Sure.
Okay, so it costs them a lot of money, and then it costs them so much that they're in trouble.
Again.
And then we have to bail. Do we bail them out then? Like, how does that work?
Well, you will. I'll tell you how it works, Joe, to be cynical. You're going to pay for it when you buy the next car.
Well, no, but I mean, if the company goes under and says, oh, we can't afford to pay this, and then is the government going to step in and bail them out?
Yes. But it probably won't happen. Yes, but it probably won't happen. What's going to probably happen is they're going to say, okay, the cost of doing business is we got to pay all these things off, and now that $1 billion, and now we're just adding a little to every car.
Well, it'll be interesting to see, obviously, what happens. Our final story today, we mentioned this last Friday. We broke the news. Well, we didn't break the news. The news was broken well before us, but we talked about the retirement of David Letterman after 32 years on the air and on both NBC and CBS. He was leaving late night television in a very swift announcement. CBS announced yesterday that David Letterman would his successor would be none other than Stephen Colbert of the Colbert Report on Comedy Central, which follows The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And it'll be a very interesting, I thought it was a good choice, my opinion, a very good choice, a very interesting choice. For those of you who are not familiar with The Colbert Show, he is a very, very satirical and very much does a parody of conservative hosts. It is a character, and in this show, he's going to play it straight.
Yeah, and that's the real gamble, because number one, they made this decision way too fast. Number two, has anyone ever seen? Has anyone?
I'm in with Alan on this one. That I think this was probably in the works for a long time.
He campaigned for it. He wanted this.
But
job.
Has anyone ever seen him be himself on TV?
Yeah. Yeah, there have been times, and he actually came in when Letterman was sick and hosted the show straight, and I think he's done several other events and done things. I think he has a good comedic record on that, and also from what I'm reading from both Bill Carter in the New York Times and also some good reporting out of the Hollywood Reporter that not only did he campaign for the job, but I think Letterman campaigned for him. was really looking for that as a successor.
I remember him as a character on the old Amy Sedaris show. He's hysterical, and I'm happy that he's there, but I am going to miss the old the character on the Colbert Report.
Which he said he would occasionally do on the Daily Show. Yeah.
Does he own it? In other words, when Letterman went from NBC to CBS.
Intellectual property of NBC.
Bits and some of Chris Elliott's bits and other things that couldn't be taken from NBC to CBS.
Larry Bud Melman.
Right. And so what can they take? What can Colbert take from Colbert now on Comedy Central?
Yeah, I don't know.
We'll find out.
Yeah, but I want to raise something else. In 1955, I am old. You think that this could have happened with his sort of left of center analysis to be a major host on a major television
show?
You
tell me Jack Parr wasn't left of center?
Or David Letterman?
No.
Jack Parr was working on the Kennedy campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You think that was left wing? Not me.
Nowadays they would just put him on NBC as a news guy.
I get it, Ray. I get it, Ray.
Yeah,
that
I don't know.
That was a shot in case any of you didn't get it.
All right, shots excluded. We're out of time, but I want to thank you very much for joining us. We welcome your letters, roundtable at wamc.org. My thanks to Rosemary Armeo, Ray Graff, Alan Chartok, and the conversation will continue. Again, roundtable at wamc.org, and we'll be back on Monday. Thank you very much. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You too.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.